Good morning, America. This is the Cats Roundtable. John Katzmatidis here, Sunday morning. Well, a lot of things going on in the world, but one particular place, Afghanistan. With us this morning is General Petraeus. He served our country for 37 years in the Army. He was commander of Central Command and commander of Allied forces in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he was director of the CIA. What more knowledgeable person than that can we ask to find out what's really going on? General Petraeus, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, John. Great to be with you.
There's been rumors that things are not going so well over there in Afghanistan, and a lot of Americans say that maybe we shouldn't have left some people there. Give us your opinion.
Well, I have noted since the announcement of the decision to withdraw that I feared that we would come to regret the decision to withdraw our forces. I didn't sense that we would realize this quite as quickly as it seems is the case. Keep in mind that when we withdrew our 3,500 forces, that all of our NATO and non-NATO coalition partners felt that they had to withdraw their 8,500 troops. And also over 15,000 contractors left. And that latter category is hugely important because it is what has kept the Afghan Air Force, which flies U.S.-provided fixed and rotary wing aircraft for both transport and close air support, and many of the vehicles that we've provided and other weapon systems, keeps them all operational. And it's very clear that the challenges of maintaining those systems are even more than I think folks thought they might be. Also, the Afghans are expending munitions at a much greater rate since, of course, our close air support and intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance assets aren't present to help them. They're under enormous pressure. The security situation has deteriorated. The Taliban has quite swiftly taking control of a good number of the districts in Afghanistan. There's fighting on the outskirts, even of major cities like Kandahar, where, to its credit, the U.S. did use close air support to support our Afghan partners. But clearly, the situation is very concerning because the ultimate outcome could be the reimposition of an ultra-conservative, Islamist, medieval theocratic regime, which we saw before when the Taliban controlled much of the country, including the area in which al-Qaeda was allowed to establish the sanctuary in which the 9/11 attacks were planned. And of course, there is a real potential of a civil war between the Taliban and their insurgent and extremist partners, government forces, and various warlord militias of different ethnic and sectarian groupings that could be very, very damaging, loss of life, loss of infrastructure, millions of refugees flooding into neighboring countries, Pakistan in particular, which still has millions of refugees from the civil war that followed the collapse of the post-Soviet government in Afghanistan in the 1990s. So again, a lot about which to be concerned, but certainly some options that are there if we choose to exercise them to help our Afghan partners, to help them stabilize the security situation, which has been deteriorating so alarmingly in the past 2 months, and indeed to stave off what could be a very brutal civil war.
Are you confident that Afghanistan is going to get the supplies they need from us to maintain control over the Taliban?
Clearly, the administration has to explore the options that are available. I have enormous confidence in the national security team that the president has established, very, very bright, capable, experienced individuals. I'm confident that they are keenly aware of the challenges that are accumulating in Afghanistan and will put in front of the president and those underneath him, the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, National Security Advisor, the options that are available to help our Afghan partners to ensure they don't literally run out of ammunition, to ensure that they can maintain the critical air assets. Because, again, keep in mind that if the police and soldiers out on these far-flung outposts in a country that that has the Hindu Kush Mountains as its spine and very limited road infrastructure that is secure, if those individuals don't think that there's anyone coming to the rescue with additional troops, with aerial medevac assets, if they're wounded and with close air support and additional ammunition and so forth, if they think that's going to be the case, it's doubtful that they're going to fight. And we have seen instances where police in particular on these outposts have essentially deserted, thrown down their weapons, surrendered, what have you. Military fighting is still pretty hard, and the special operations forces showing real determination, capability, and expertise. But there's 30,000 of them, and they're trying to be rushed all over the country with the Afghan air assets and various ground systems. Again, if those are not functioning or can't be maintained operationally ready, then you're going to see the downward spiral potentially escalate.
The other concern was that the Taliban delegation was in China for meetings. Anything to concern us there?
Well, again, I don't think it's in our interest or, frankly, the interest of the Western world, even the interest of China, frankly, that, again, an ultra-conservative Islamist emirate be established in Afghanistan. China has a very small border with Afghanistan. It's a little corridor at the end of a quarter of land that juts out to the northeast of Afghanistan. It's literally snowed in many months of the year, but they don't want to see Islamist extremists coming into their country from Afghanistan. Now, what they're trying to do is establish a relationship with the Taliban in case it's useful later on. I think, understandably, they, like us and other countries, would love to be able to take advantage of the extraordinary mineral resources in the ground in Afghanistan. We estimated, when I was the commander in Afghanistan and at the agency, that this was more than $2 trillion worth. Huge lithium deposits, rare earths, copper, other minerals, and some energy resources as well. And again, I'm sure that they would love to extend the Belt and Road Initiative into Afghanistan if the security situation permits. They have tried in the past to mine copper there. They owned a copper mine or had access to a copper mine south of Kabul. But after being on the receiving end of some rocket attacks, they decided that they would postpone that and perhaps pursue that on another day. So again, I think this is somewhat understandable. Again, all of the countries around Afghanistan are going to hedge bets. They're going to try to mitigate risks. All of them have concerns about what can happen if the Taliban are allowed to rule Afghanistan or the bulk of Afghanistan again, and more importantly, what happens prior to that? Again, is there the kind of full-blown civil war that we saw in the 1990s? Are there millions of refugees that flood into neighboring countries? Is extremism allowed to establish sanctuary in Afghanistan? Keep in mind that, by the way, it's not just Al-Qaeda that is trying to reestablish sanctuaries in Afghanistan. It's also the Islamic State Khorasan Group, an affiliate of the Islamic State that, of course, established the caliphate in Iraq and northeastern Syria, which we had to respond to back then. And I think one of the lessons, John, if we can step out a bit, I think one of the lessons of the past 20 years of war with Islamist extremists is that you have to keep an eye on them. You have to keep pressure on them. You have to have situational awareness so that if they are trying to reconstitute themselves after being defeated or even destroyed, as we did to Al-Qaeda in Iraq during the surge and the subsequent 3.5 years before we withdrew, that if they're allowed to reconstitute, and in that case, they reconstituted as the Islamic State, that they can cause a great deal of damage and we may have to actually go back into a country. So the lesson I've taken is that a sustained, sustainable presence is probably the best course, with a lot of drones and close air support available, so that you can help both your host nation partners, as we did with the Iraqi security forces and the Syrian Democratic Forces. They did the fighting on the ground, on the front lines. We enabled them to defeat the Islamic State and to end its caliphate. I hope that that is not what we have to do in Afghanistan down the road, but the trends are quite concerning at present.
So, General, I hear concerning your voice, and there's concern in many Americans' voice. What the heck do we do?
Well, again, there's a number of options that I'm sure members of the administration and others and those in Kabul are examining, various actions that can be taken to ensure that the Afghan Air Force stays operational, that Afghan forces don't run out of air or ground munitions, that the weapon systems, vehicles, and all rest of that are supported with maintenance, spare parts, mechanics that can can ensure their readiness, close air support, intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance assets, drones in particular, all the rest of that, all of which will be much more difficult, needless to say, it already is, because, of course, we have handed off to the Afghans the two major bases that we used to use in Afghanistan, Kandahar and Bagram. And keep in mind that that also means that we lose the platform that Afghanistan provided for the regional counterterrorism campaign, not the least of which operations was the one that brought Osama bin Laden to justice, an operation that was launched on Afghan soil, from Afghan soil into Abbottabad, Pakistan, same city as the Pakistani military academy is located in, and then recovered back to Afghanistan. In fact, that was in the final months that I was the commander, although that night our Joint Special Operations Command forces for that operation worked for the CIA rather than for me. There was an operational reason for that involving legal authorities, Title 50 and so forth, covert action. In any event, there's lots of options. There are a lot of activities that we can take. Some of these will be difficult to decide upon because they would seem to indicate, again, a bit of a reversal of what the policy decisions have been. But again, this is a very experienced and bright team that the president has around him. I worked with all of them back in the day, and I'm confident that they will recognize the situation for what it is and at the very least provide the options to the president for his consideration as we seek to support or continue our support for our Afghan partners and allies.
General Petraeus, thank you so much for everything you done for our country and continue to do for your country, and God bless you and God bless America.
It was a great privilege, John, and always good to be with you. Thank you.
This is the Cats Roundtable. We'll be right back.